Good evening, congregation. It's good to be gathered, what for many of us is the second time on this Lord's Day, to worship and praise God together. In March, there's always a World Day of Prayer where churches around the globe all gather together for prayer. And so this evening is part of our celebration, too, of this. Many other churches joining together in prayer, bringing our praise and also our petitions before our Heavenly Father. As we study Scripture this evening, I'll be looking at the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, they talk about giving themselves to prayer and also of the breaking of bread. And so just a reminder that after our PM service tonight, because it's also March break, we are having a PM potluck. And so hopefully all of you will stay and join us in the fellowship hall for some food and some more fun together there as well. Congregation, that's the announcements that we have. At this time, I'm going to invite you to stand for the call to worship. Congregation, the psalmist in Psalm 121 says these words, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Brothers and sisters, this is the God that we have gathered to worship, the God who has created all things, the heavens and the earth. Congregation, receive the greeting of this God. May the mercy of God, the love of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. And all God's people say, Amen. Congregation, this evening we're having a special prayer service, and so we're going to be starting by hearing a reading and then a prayer of praise.
Our reading this evening comes from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the seas, to the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake in their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her; she will not fall. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the work of the Lord and the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Shall we pray? Our gracious and heavenly Father, we rejoice in your greatness. We rejoice in the abundance of your hand. Lord, we rejoice knowing that you are the ruler and king of the earth. Lord, we thank you and praise you that we, as your sheep, can come to this house of worship so freely in this country. Lord, we thank you for the creation that you have given us and the honor and glory due your name for the majestic earth that you have created for us to live in. Lord, we thank you that you are the Almighty God and that we can put our trust in you, and that you will sustain us and guide us through our lives. Lord, you are a great and mighty God, and you have control over all the mountains and seas and waters. You have the power over war and our enemies. And Lord, we can rest our abundance, or we can rest upon you as our guiding Savior. Lord, as we worship tonight, may we, in prayer and supplication of your remember that you are our guide and our shield, our fortress and our strength. We pray this all in your name. Amen. Join with us as we sing number 432, God is our refuge and our strength.
Our strength, our ever present.
Now, congregation, this evening, as I mentioned, is a prayer service, and we'll be devoting ourselves to significantly more time in prayer than usual, but we do want to have a brief meditation and reflection on God's Word. And so this evening, I'm going to invite you to turn with me in the book of Acts, to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read just the end of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 all the way through to 47. So just a few verses there from the end of the book of Acts. If your pew Bible's the same as the one I have here on the pulpit, it's page 1057. So I invite you to turn with me there if you would. Congregation, with God's word open, let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word which spoke to your people long ago, and your word which speaks to us still today. We pray, Lord, that that same spirit that inspired Luke as he wrote these words will also, Lord, work in our hearts and continue to inspire us, Lord, to hear of the early church and to seek also, Lord, to live in that way according to your spirit and to your glory. Lord, bless the reading and the preaching of your word, we pray in Jesus' name by the Spirit's power. Amen. Congregation, from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, congregation, this evening we're looking at just a brief snapshot there, the book of Acts, on what the early church looked like. If you have your Bibles open, you can see that this is right after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes down at the beginning of chapter 2. Peter addresses the crowd, and then we have this summary of what happens. Some see in this early church a picture of what a perfect church is to be. But congregation, that is actually not the case as Acts carries forward and further. Two chapters later, there's hypocrites in the church. A number of chapters beyond that, there's doctrinal controversies. It seems as if the early church had its share of sinners too. Broken people in need of a Savior, just like us. Now, though this church was not a perfect church, it does have some important things to teach us about practices that developed in the church and how the church functioned in those first days after Pentecost. This evening, I want to look very briefly at just four of those things in that one verse there and four characteristics that tell us, in some ways, how we should live. The first thing that we should note there is that the church, just before this, has experienced some unprecedented growth. It's a large church, even by our standards today. Over 3,000 people were added to their number. And before that time, it was just over 100. So that's kind of like maybe just a bit more than our average morning crowd. It had 11, and then later on, after the addition of one additional one, 12 apostles to do the work. But just a few chapters later, they're realizing that they can't do all the work in a congregation that size. And so seven men are selected to help with the work. There's a council then of 19 men at that time. But everyone is doing all the work of ministry. And what things did they do? Well, they devoted themselves, verse 42 tells us, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That meant that they were a learning and studying group. We know that they were joyful and growing, but the first thing that Luke mentions is the teaching. People need to know about the truth, and how can they learn but having someone teach them? And so the apostles taught. If you read through the book of Acts, they continually taught people what it was to follow Jesus Christ. Pentecost was just a couple of days ago. They had been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But they're not looking back. They're looking ahead to see who else they could tell about the good news, studying the Word of God. The second thing they devoted themselves to was fellowship, to Christian fellowship. The word there in Greek is koinonia, which means having something in common. And that's what they celebrated. They rejoiced in what they had in common, not what divided them, but what they had in common, their participation in God. If you believed in Jesus Christ for your salvation, you were a brother or sister in Christ. Fellowship with God and fellowship with others go together, and that's what the early church did. At the congregational meeting just a few weeks ago, I talked about an illustration that Dietrich Bonhoeffer had in his book, Life Together. And he talks about Jesus being the hub and us as Christians being spokes, like on a wheel. And he says the closer that you get to Jesus, the closer on that spoke you get to Jesus, the closer you'll be with others on different spokes who are also seeking to get closer to Jesus. The closer to Jesus, the closer your relationship with others. In fact, some have even read, I think, what is more than there in the text when they talk about having everything in common. Some people say that here you have a scriptural warrant for a system of government. Some say that communism here is what is called for, sharing of goods. But in communism, everyone is forced to share with no right to own anything. Communism is compulsory, but it's also not socialism where everybody above a certain income had to give anything extra to that. No, if you read through what the early church was doing there, what they practiced was actually generosity. They shared what they had, not because they were communists or socialists or anything else, but because they had been blessed by a generous God and wanted to share and be generous to others. That was part of the fellowship that they enjoyed. The third thing that the early church did there, as they were a worshiping church, was they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They broke bread together. How good it is to share fellowship over a meal together. And then that point there where it says, and to prayer, in the Greek there's actually a definite article. It would actually maybe better read, not in English, but to help you get the sense of it, they devoted themselves to the prayers. They gathered for worship regularly. The only place that 3,000 people could have gathered, nobody had a home large enough for that, was at the temple. A space large enough for all of them. They worshiped, they celebrated together, they broke bread. And then again, if you actually read through the text, you notice there that it also talks about breaking bread together and ate together with glad and sincere hearts in verse 46. It seems like Luke is repeating himself, but he's not. He's saying that even going for supper at somebody's home is a further continuation of that fellowship. And the last thing that group did was that they were a witnessing church, an evangelizing church. The last verse there tells us daily their numbers were being added to. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how they were witnessing or what particular things they said, but it tells us that they were telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ. How can people hear about Jesus Christ unless someone tells them? These people began to speak of Jesus. They had experienced something wonderful just a few days ago at Pentecost and wanted to share that good news with others. But note as well that they recognized that it was not their own gifts that was drawing people to the church. They were channels to what God was doing. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And then what does it say? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God was working in and through his church. And congregation, that's some joyous news for us today as well, because God is still doing that today. We're called to do what the early church did, to do those things. God is at work. The reality is that many people in our world around us do not know what they want or even what they need. But we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to share. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. So this evening, as we have a number of people from our congregation lifting forth prayers on our behalf, we're going to spend time praying, because prayer is so important. Prayer really catapults us to the frontier of spiritual life. Prayer, the catechism actually says, is most central to a Christian's identity. It's the most important act of thankfulness a Christian can do. Prayer is life-creating and also life-changing. William Carey, the great prayer himself, once said that fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. To pray, he said, is to change. Prayer is often the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we're unwilling to change, we will often abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our life. We'll try to avoid God. But if we regularly pray, then God will often slowly and graciously reveal to us even our evasive actions and set us free from them. The closer we come to the heartbeat of God, the more we see our need and our desire to be conformed to Christ. Scripture tells us that Jesus often went by himself to pray, to be with his Father. He and the Father were one. He was, as Clarence read from Psalm 46, still and knew that the Lord was God. In prayer this evening, we'll begin to think God's thoughts after him, to seek to desire the things he desires, and to seek to love the things that God loves, and to will what he loves. I've heard it said once that prayer is like pulling the rope below, and the great bell in heaven above rings in the ears of God. Some scarcely move the bell at all, for they pray so unenergetically. Others maybe see the rope and give it an occasional tug once in a while as they're kind of passing by. But the one who really makes the bell peal, the one who makes the bell toll, is the one who grasps that rope and pulls with all their might. Congregation, may we be people who pull by praying. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, as we gather for worship this evening and as we gather to pray together, we ask that you bless us with your presence. Lord, may we in our prayers this evening pour out our hearts to you as we praise you, as we thank you, as we pray for others, as we pray for ourselves. May we be lifting your name high and listening to you and seeking to conform our will to yours. Lord, may this be our desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have one song, so I'm going to invite the pianist and the singers forward to sing our song of preparation on how good it is, and then we'll have our first of the prayers, or our second of the prayers, our prayer of thanksgiving after this song. So let's stand to sing How Good It Is, and then be seated at the end of this song.
So with one voice we'll sing afflicted find grace when we offer the blessing of belonging. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll lift up His word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people. How good it is to embrace His commands, to prefer one another, forgive as He forgives. When we live as one, we all share in the love of the Son with the Father and the Spirit. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll lift out His word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people.
Thank you. This is a little different prayer. I was sitting at home, and it's the time of year that I start remembering the Easter hymns and songs that I learned when I was about that high. And this came to me. So for our prayer this evening, I'm going to recite the four simple verses in the song, in the hymn, and you probably all know them. And then there'll be a prayer in the middle of each verse. So you'll know when to open your eyes and you'll know when to close them. There is a green hill far away outside a city wall, where our dear Lord was crucified. He died to save us all. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that You created us, and You created us in Your image. You made us like You, and You gave us a free will, because You wanted Your people, You creatures that You made, to love You as much as You love them. But Father, we didn't do that. We rebelled. We were proud. We were going to do it our way. And sin came into the world. Thank You, Lord, that You knew this would happen, and that You had a plan to bring us back to You, to redeem us, so that we could be together again. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Father, thank You. Thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to come to on earth to solve this problem. You sent Him as a man, that He would be able to show us how we should have had our relationship with You. And we thank you for that. And we know that we fall short of Jesus' example. But you also sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins, for our wrongdoing, for our messing up, because he was the only person who could do it. Your son, perfect, sinless man. We may not know, we cannot tell what pain he had to bear. But we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus. No, we have no idea, most of us, the kind of pain that he suffered during the physical time he was on the cross and before. We know that he had emotional pain as people were jeering and yelling at him. And we know even more the spiritual pain when heaven closed its doors and turned its back on Jesus because it could not look at the sin that he took for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. So dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood and do his work. And I can't read the last word. Father, we know that Jesus came 2,000 and some odd years ago, and he ransomed us from our sins. And we thank you. We thank you that we're forgiven, and that by Jesus' blood and death on the cross, we are redeemed and we will be with you for eternity. But Father, the work isn't done. As we look around, there are many, many, many people who haven't accepted the gift of God, the gift of you, that free gift. They're suspicious. So now it's our job, the redeemed, to go out. To go out and take the good news. And Father, I know for me that's difficult to do. I find it really hard to talk about my faith to others. And I don't think I'm alone in that. So I ask, and we ask humbly, that you will forgive us when we don't do a good job, and that you will give us guidance, wisdom, courage, the words that we need, and you will show us the people that you want us to reach so that everyone else can take part in eternal life with you and Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of woe. This above of the cross, Christ became sin for us.
Out of the Beatitudes, I read, Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening to ask you for unity with all Christians recovering from isolation, hunger, and poor leadership. We pray especially for those who are living in areas of persecution because of their faith and beliefs. We ask, Lord, that you be near to them and comfort them. Give them what they stand in need of daily. In these times, Lord, when nations are in turmoil, may we not forget that you are still at the helm. We also pray for those who hold positions of leadership in these areas. And for us here, may we continually support the denominational agencies that support this cause. We ask, Lord, that you may show your mercy to all these people, and your will be done. Amen. Let's sing, Here I Am, Lord.
I'm reading Psalm 80, 17 and 19. Preserve and protect the people you have chosen, the nation you have made so strong. We will never again turn away from you again. Keep us alive, and we will praise you. Also John 17, 20 to 23. I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one. Father, may they be in us just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one so that the world will believe that you sent me. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be completely one, in order that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as you love me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the church. There are so many different people and types of churches, just like there are so many different parts of the body. In our own little town of Dresden, there are several churches. Thank you for the different churches and characteristics that make them so unique, Lord. Lord, in all these differences, teach us to work together, Lord, to use our differences to be more effective in the community of Dresden. Unify us to further the work of your kingdom. Thank you for Dresden Christian Reformed Church and the many unique people in this church. Lord, strengthen our own unity. Lord, I also pray for our homes. Bless the households and families so that we may grow stronger in you. Remind us to keep you in the center of our families so that relationships with others and with our own spouses grow stronger in you, and so that this church and the families in it follow you for many, many more generations. In your name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 119:9-16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day and that we could all come together to worship you. We pray for the young people in our church and communities. Help them to be a light in our dark world. Surround them with people who will love them, support them, and encourage them in their walks of faith. Give them wisdom and discernment about the things that they do and the decisions they make. Be with the young adults in our church family as they face new challenges and struggles. Show them the path you have laid out for them and give them the courage to take it. Help them also to guide and inspire the next generation of believers. Lord, help us to make good choices that will honor you. Let us fix our eyes on you and not fall into the temptations of our world. As we make our way in the world, meeting new people and creating new relationships, give us wisdom. Give us patience and protect us as we wait for the person you have chosen for each of us. Thank you for giving us Christian examples that show us what a God-centered relationship should look like. We pray for young new families as they raise their children to know God's love. Help us as a church family to love and support them as they grow together. Provide them with patience and joy, even through tough times. Be with them as their children grow up and become teenagers. We ask that you would bless them and remind them always of your love for them. Be with the teens who are growing up in our community. Help them to respect others and show kindness to those who are in need. Lord, guide them through the world's temptations and strengthen them so that they will not give in to those sins. Remind them to honor and love their parents. Be also with their parents. Help them to understand and listen to their children. Protect all these people and guide them in their walks of faith. We ask this in your heavenly name. Amen.
We continue in our worship also through the giving of our gifts, of our offerings this evening. Our offerings this evening is for beginnings, a support for parents who are often unexpectedly having children, and also supports for parents who are looking to adopt children. So may the Lord also bless us, and we have some special music as the offering is received at this time.
We can hear the hearts that grieve.
Thanks, Riella and Sarah. Beautiful prayer, and Pat as well. Congregation, at this time, I'm going to invite you to stand for the parting blessing. Congregation, we'll have the parting blessing, and then as a doxology, we'll sing after the blessing, we receive your blessing. And again, just a reminder, there is a potluck afterwards. Even if you brought nothing, I did check the kitchen. There is lots of food there, so please do come join us for meal and fellowship afterwards. Congregation, as we prepare to go from this place, go out with these words. Brothers and sisters, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people say, Amen.
Walk in the light shining from your face.
May the peace that you give change the way that we live. We receive your blessing as we leave this